Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a TV presenter, and a gastronaut. Now, today we continue our series of interviews with leading figures in the food sector, getting under the surface to discover what motivates and inspires them, and looking at their work to see how it's shaping the future of food. In this edition, my guest is George Diamond, CEO of the organic supermarket chain Planet Organic, who joined just 9 months ago. George has a remarkable CV featuring senior jobs at Morrisons, Tesco, Holland & Barrett, and he's come on board at Planet Organic at a time when there's rapid expansion plans being announced. Just 2 weeks ago, a new 2,500 square foot store opened in Henley, along with a new distribution centre. But I want to know how and why you go about a major expansion when customers' food and fuel prices are going up, when your own food and fuel prices are going up, when inflation is expected to hit 11%, and after the past couple of years of economic turmoil. It takes a fascinating combination of skills and a fair slice of bravery to lead a change like this. So, George Diamond, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Stefan.
I'm wondering how your blood pressure is, how are you feeling at the moment? Because, you know, throwing yourself into a big expansion during economic mayhem. But hang on, we'll get to that in a minute. First of all, let's explore your career. It's been fantastically varied. You've held senior positions with lots of companies that are household names and not just in the food sector. So give us a quick précis of your journey to now, to Planet Organic.
Yeah, sure. So, I started life having done an engineering degree, realised I didn't want to be an engineer. And like a lot of people straight out of uni, I think still wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. So I jumped into the world of management consultancy. And from there, that kind of took me into the consumer world, doing various projects with Virgin Megastores, if you remember them at the time.
Oh, yeah. I loved them.
And then there was this wonderful company called the Carphone Warehouse, where we did a joint buying project with Comet and Woolworths. There you go. There's another household name that no longer exists.
It's all kicking off, isn't it? Yeah.
From there, I joined Carphone, where I had best part of 10 wonderful years. It was a fascinating time. It was the time where, you know, uptake of mobile phones was still in its infancy. We expanded, I think when I first got there, it was about 100 stores. And when I left, it was 800 plus stores. We launched the iPhone and had a lot of fun along the way. Great industry, great sector, great people. Went over to America. I worked with Best Buy, where we did a joint venture opening up mobile phone stores in Manhattan. That was a very fun job. That then spread it across the US and then back to the UK. Mm. Point being, I loved what I was doing, but it's quite a small sector, and I kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit. And if you kind of see how that's all played out, maybe I got my timing right, maybe I didn't. But from there, I went over to Australia. So I joined Coles Supermarkets. A number of people from the UK, Archie Norman, Ian McLeod, John Durkin, all over there. So I followed over there with the plan of staying for 3 years. And of course, I stayed for 10. And we turned that supermarket around, very much focused on the consumer trends, really making sure we got the basics of retail right. I played director bingo there, so did a lot of different jobs, from trading director to marketing director to supply chain director, property, and a number of other pieces as well. And then we had a good old conversation about where do we want to live, and decided to come back to the UK. Got a big family, very family focused. And I worked out there are two areas in retail that were really booming at the time. One is discount retailing, and I did some stuff over in Australia on that. And the other one is of course, the macro trend on health and well-being. And from there, I found Holland and Barrett. Again, worked with some great people there, loved the sector, and that was a fantastic brand. And then I was really excited to get the knock on the door from Ben Thompson at Invaleith, who owned Planet Organic. And then we were in discussions for a long time before I managed to join in December last year.
So I'm breathless. I mean, I found that exhausting just listening to all those different things that you've done. I mean, but also, you know, it's the difference. You know, I guess there's been an arc, but, you know, starting. I remember. I think I had a snog once in a Virgin megastore, but never in a Carphone warehouse, as you said. But there's such a lot of different things. Now, I've just wondered, how would you describe the arc of your career? Is it a series of happy accidents, or did you always have a plan to take over the world?
I don't think there's ever a global domination there. I What do I get excited about? I get excited about being on a journey. So if you kind of think of the Carphone Warehouse arc, if you want to use that word, really following where consumers were. And early 2000s when I was there, it was all about what else can my phone now do? Yeah. You know, the fact that it's touchscreen and does everything. Well, it wasn't like that, was it? It was WAP. It was SMSs. Oh, my screen's now color, not black and white. So it's evolution, and we were kind of reinventing ourselves every other day. I went over to the US for exactly the same reason. You know, they were selling mobile phones. We sold them differently and recreated a proposition very much focused on consumer trend. And actually, that's the bit that excites me all the way through. So if you want the kind of link, it is looking at what consumers want, whether it's in the health space, whether it's in the mobile phone space, and then connecting the dots behind the scenes. So working with our supply base, much more interesting working with farmers than Scandinavian mobile phone makers. but I guess that's the thread, and that's what excites me. That's what puts springs in my step.
Yeah.
I look at a business like Planet. There's so much opportunity. Where's the opportunity? It's because consumers are so interested in their health, not just the health of themselves, the health of their loved ones, the health of the planet. And that is the big macro trend. I saw that happening over in Australia, and I kind of followed that through to Westbourne Grove. So that's the thread of them.
Okay, so let's look at this area of the market then. So back in the day, when Whole Food retail was in its infancy, there used to be a kind of sweetly chaotic, eccentric side to Whole Food shops. I think they were all called Whole Food shops when I was growing up. What was your view of organic when you started out? I mean, look, back when you were at Carphone Warehouse, was organic on the spectrum at all? You know, have you been an organic food head, or is it the challenge rather than the stuff?
A bit of both, and I'm very much, you know, whilst a big part of what we do is organic, of course, being planet organic, actually it isn't all just about the organic. It's much more about the health and wellness.
Yeah.
And it's really quite a foodie company as well. We're passionate about food, and I think that's, there's been a thread there, if you like, if you want to call it that. I remember growing up with an aunt that was out and out vegetarian. I don't think even vegan. I think she was married to a vegan, actually. And it was all a bit, oh, auntie's coming around, so it's a nut roast, I guess. But I was also surrounded by, you know, foodies. So my mother and grandmother really into cooking amazing dishes. And I guess that rubbed off, and I still enjoy cooking and entertaining around that with my family. So there's probably more the foodie bit than the organic bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, I know you've only had your feet under the desk for a short while, but I'm sure you've done your homework. Can you give us a quick précis of the Planet Organic story? Started in 1995, didn't it?
Yeah. So 26 years old now, founded by an amazing woman called Renee Elliott. I must admit, I'm yet to meet her, but I've met her husband, and I'm super impressed with what she did. And she was a real trailblazer. So, you know, we were joking a little bit then about organic back in the day. I guess she was there, Prince Charles was there.
Yeah.
But it would have been quite a lonely place. But she saw the importance, not just of organic. Actually, if you go back and look at what she was doing, it was really into health and wellness. It was really into, give me an alternative to buying not great quality food at the supermarkets back in the day. So I think it was a bit of a cult. She opened her first store in Westbourne Grove, which is still alive and kicking today, in fact.
I remember it well when I was living there, yeah.
That became a real kind of beacon, if you like, for a bit of a food movement, definitely the organic movement as well. You know, it's the first supermarket to have certification from the Soil Association. That's a relationship we hold dearly and have had for a very long time. But it would have been pretty unique proposition. It was again a very much a foodie place. So there was an expansion into other stores where the food in the kitchen was a big part of the offer. So food to go, delicious hot organic food served in store, and that became quite an institution in a number of places, like Torrington Place, just off Tottenham Court Road, Devonshire Square, feeding the city. So I think in those early days, you know, it was only a handful of stores, but they were really large and very busy stores. And I think part of that was definitely those that are kind of living that lifestyle, if you like, the organic bit. But there's also just those that are interested in, where does my food come from?
Yeah.
Help and educate me there. We've also got an amazing health and beauty business. So the team would have launched amazing brands well before they're kind of established in the market now. So if I look at something like Ren, which is in many different locations now, I think, you know, Planet Organic would have been an early pioneer in that. great partnerships with other people in this space. So I think Deliciously Ella, I think Ella signed her first cookbook in Westbourne, in one of our stores, I think it was Westbourne Grove. So, you know, you've got these amazing long relationships with partners who are trying to do the right stuff in this space.
Yeah.
So I think it was a very exciting time. And then from there, the business continued to grow relatively slowly, but it was definitely a big store format.
And that was one of the big shifts, I think, that the fact that scale was different, and it wasn't just somebody with a fantastic hippie sensibility. It was actually, okay, this is a proper place where you can go and get pretty much everything you needed.
Yeah, definitely. All, you know, you can do the full shop there. You can pop in for just a coffee or a juice or a smoothie. You can pop in for your supplements and your health and beauty side. So
yeah.
It's a wonderful eclectic mix, and I think if I look around, it's still pretty unique in the market.
And have the demographics of customers changed significantly? Was there a different target market, and has that changed?
That's a good question, and actually I won't pretend I know the answer to that. What I can say is here and now. You know, we're quite a youthful customer base. So 25 to 45 is our typical kind of sector. We're female biased online, but even more so than in our stores. And I think we're in a different era now, where it's particularly post-pandemic, where, as I said, people are really interested in where my food comes from. I think that's the one biggest piece that has changed. Everyone's got health much more in the top of their mind.
Yeah.
And everyone really gets the link between what I put in my body and my health. So, you know, everything from our produce, which is of course all organic, and we've just seen that grow and grow and grow. Meat and seafood, bizarrely enough, for Planet Organic, meat's one of our fastest growing sectors. And again, that plays to where does my food come from? And there's this whole piece about I'll have better quality less often, and you're seeing that play out in many, many different categories. So I think, you know, who are we talking to and who are we attracting now? It is definitely people that are interested in the wider organic movement, but it's much, much more than that. It's much more about that health movement and wellness movement.
Yeah. And I was wondering if it was about sort of I hate the word, but flexitarians, of people dropping in and having something organic when maybe they don't have organic all the time as well.
And I think, you know, that's we're Planet Organic, and I keep on saying we're much more planet than organic, because I think the commonality, if you want to take flexitarianism or pescatarianism, people dip in. People don't want to be kind of, there's my badge, I'm a vegan, there's my badge, I only want organic. No, it's much broader than that. And there are some amazing producers out there that aren't organic, but they, you know, from animal welfare to care in terms of how food is produced without any of the nasties, that's really what people are looking for now, I think.
Yeah.
And our commonality, I think, I talk about the planet piece. What does that mean to me? It is the wider health piece, health of the planet, but also health of each and every one of us on that planet.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's get back to the you arriving. You haven't been there for that long. There's a huge expansion program planned. Now, presumably, a lot of that will have already been plotted before you arrived. And tell me a little bit about that. I mean, because presumably you've arrived at the helm to guide through this expansion.
Yeah. So, well, firstly, you say I haven't been there that long. It's funny how long it feels, but I guess it's because I'm enjoying it. So no, there wasn't really a kind of fully articulated plan. So I think, you know, part of the reason I took the job, and part of the reason why I think the team asked me to come on board, was to help formulate that plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you just fill us in on what that plan is? What are the expansion plans?
Yeah, so I mean, at its heart, there is a store rollout plan. So we currently have 12 stores in London, and the plan over the life of this plan would be going to 50 stores, all still London or South East based.
Yeah.
So that's the bit everyone kind of jumps on. But there's a lot more behind that in terms of just if you kind of think of the model store that we are rolling out. Actually, the team have done a great job. So we opened Queen's Park a couple of years ago. We've opened in Bermondsey, Hackney and Hampstead, and they're all working incredibly well. So the customer response to that smaller format model works well. So I'm coming in and going, well, that works well. Why don't we do more of them? Because clearly customers are responding incredibly well, both to the sector, but then this amazing brand that we have. So why wouldn't we be taking it out? So plan would be to go to 50 stores. Omnichannel is a big part of our business. So just over 10% of our sales come from e-commerce. But I'm much more interested in making sure Planet is available to customers, however, wherever, whenever they want to shop. So we recently went on Deliveroo. That's working incredibly well. and we don't have click and collect. We are going to be having click and collect. Well, my vision would be we'd have Planet Organic bikes delivering to their local community. So we'll get there eventually, but that whole omni-channel piece is massively important.
Yeah.
Customers, back to where does my food come from, or looking for advice or research online, we get that huge amount, as you can imagine, at the Planet Organic website. So that's a huge part. And then we're into the customer offer, I guess, at the heart of that. Planet Organic is such a fantastic brand. Why wouldn't you put that on the food or supplements that you put in your body? We've already started that journey well before I got there, but we've got some really exciting things. So we're launching our own Planet supplements next month. We got Planet bone broth next month. We've got Planet coffee coming. So you can see the team are doing a fantastic job in the innovation side of food, which is always the fun bit, isn't it? Bringing great products.
They must be exhausted.
And then there's a whole piece in terms of, you know, the business kind of grew up organically and the infrastructure just wasn't there. So as you'd said in your intro, we're on the cusp of opening up our first warehouse in Sunbury, so west of London, which will then service all those stores. Because one thing I saw very early on is the massive inefficiencies in how we run it, which isn't just a cost thing, by the way. It's how do you make people's lives easier in the stores? So 150 deliveries per store per week, belching out all that carbon dioxide and diesel fumes in London.
Yeah,
that's not great. So by having our own central warehouse, we just take all of the pain away, and we have one delivery per day per store. I mean, it's so much simpler and kind of where we should be. So you can imagine behind the scenes a massive amount of work to get that done. I'm delighted we've got very strong partnerships in Item, who are our IT providers, and Howard Tennant, who are our supply chain providers. So that's the kind of approach we're trying to take at Planet.
And still very much focused London and the Southeast. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I guess focus on your customers, right? And don't overreach. I think I looked at others in this space.
Don't overreach. 50 stores.
Only 50 stores. Well, I guess, the interesting bit there, I guess, is I've worked in retailers that have got hundreds of stores, all the way back to that car home warehouse day, right? So is it a lot? I don't know. How many Planet Organics should the UK have?
It just sounds like a lot when it's focused in one particular region, but you're not really looking at other regions. And I wonder why that is. What's the overarching?
Purely and simply sequential. And you look at the DC, right? And you put Sunbury in the middle of a map and you draw a 1-hour circle around that and you bring in loads of places where you know that a Planet would fly. So Marlow, Henley, we've already announced we're looking at. St Albans, I think we can get through to Oxford from Sunbury. So it kind of opens up some really interesting places. And then we're not done in London. I mean, there are many, many suburbs we'd love to get to. Kingston, Richmond, Teddington, lots in that.
These places are all quite posh, aren't they?
You say posh, I say lots of customers that are interested in health and wellness.
I don't think there's much to discover down that route anyway. So what I'm more interested in really is doing this at this particular time when there's economic chaos, a fair amount of uncertainty, you know, interest rates rising, inflation rising. Yeah. How do you hedge for these problems? Can you, or do you just carry on doing what you're doing and hope it's going to work?
I think just being incredibly focused on what we do, and if there's a customer need and a customer pull, we know we're onto something that's winning. So yes, I see it, I hear it, I feel it. I'm acutely aware of all the mayhem out there, and yet. Some of our new stores are absolutely flying. So, we could get into the whole debate about cost of living and what have you, but there is a very serious undertone here in terms of there's cost of living, but there is also people's health.
Yeah.
I was testing our amazing new sandwiches that are going to be coming out. There are no preservatives in that bread. And I think people do get it. You go into many, many, many places on the high street where you can get delicious sandwiches, but they are full of stuff that you don't really want to be putting in your body. So I think there's a serious piece that cuts through. But also, I mean, look at the last few years. No one predicted a global pandemic. Now you've got interest rates, no doubt, zooming up following inflation rates. No one expected a war. I mean, so I guess at their heart is, if not now, then when? And we've got an amazing proposition. And we're doing something pretty special, I think. And why wouldn't we take it to more customers?
Yeah. And from if I was looking at it and thinking, is there a time and a place, I would say during COVID, there was an enormous focus on healthy lifestyle, healthy eating. Yeah. I presume Planet Organic did very well out of that. And has that left you in a good position to expand?
Well, actually, I think overall COVID hurt Planet quite a lot. So those city centre stores that we talk about, I mean, I've come in and took the tough decision to close a couple of the stores. So, you know, in the middle of the lockdown, one of our main stores in Tottenham Court Road was closed. We've had to permanently close a store in Wandsworth because the customer base just moved. We had to close a store in Torrington Place, one of our leading food stores. So it's shifted the footprint of Planet.
And is that because people just weren't going into the centre to and working to buy rather than the people not being?
Yeah. And it shifted. London has shifted, you can see it, right? So outside our Tottenham Court Road store, the footfall there is still 40% down where it was versus pre-pandemic. So that's a real challenge. Whereas Chiswick, where we have a lovely store there on the high street, that hasn't. You know, in fact, there's more of a community there than ever before.
You want to go back to where people are living rather than where they're working, I guess.
Yeah. So we are really focused in terms of where we're putting those new stores, and they will be much more in the neighbourhood. We think the community role that Planet plays as well is a big one, and we think we thrive in those neighbourhoods.
Yeah, and I would also say that in time of political turmoil, that neighbourhood and community becomes infinitely more important and is part of a better pitch as well. Yeah. Now, on another level, I don't really want to sound callous, but this is a food industry podcast, and I want to know if there are opportunities as well as threats from recession, high inflation and cost of living rises. You know, you must be thinking on a broad scale in the macroeconomics of this. Are there ways to make a buck during a recession that maybe surprises?
Well, I've always looked at, 2008, 2009, I guess the last big one, and I was over in Australia at the time, and we were very focused on what's happening with consumer, and it's the flight to value or the flight to quality, and that will play out again. So, you know, it is well publicised, well documented, all the questions about cost of living all go into the flight to value, understandably, by the way. And that's why I think, you know, the Aldis and the Lidls will be thriving. I think that's why you see own brand in Tesco, in Waitrose, doing incredibly well.
Would you have a sort of a budget range alongside what you already do?
You know, we're just not big enough. I mean, whilst you're saying, oh, go to 50 stores, that's still a minnow in the food industry, food retail scheme, isn't it? So we're just not going to complicate our range like that. But I get it. So there's the flight to value, and you see that happening. But there's also at the same time a flight to quality. Well documented, people don't go out to restaurants as much. People are much more interested in eating at home, and therefore they will potentially treat themselves. Beauty sales actually, interestingly, go up because there's that treat at home as well. So I think the macro piece that will play through is that flight to quality and flight to value, and we're definitely seeing that play out. So, you know, again, our newer stores in some of those suburbs are doing particularly well. Actually, the biggest thing we see is a lot of our customers go away during the summer break, and that's our kind of shallow period. I wonder how the affordability of going on holiday, maybe that will help us, who knows.
Yeah, maybe. There's strange twists to all of this, isn't there? Now, one topic that we keep coming back to on this podcast is sustainability. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking to a startup or a huge multinational. Everyone says it's a priority. If it's not a priority, you're pretty much doomed. Now, Planet Organic has always talked about sustainability. Now, I wonder if this is problematic or problematic, but how confusing does it get when it becomes the norm? How does Planet Organic sort of stick out from things? You know, do you find new issues to shout about? Do you work harder on your sustainability? Is there another issue that needs to take its place?
It's a great question, and look, I just think it's so in the DNA of the team at Planet. It isn't really a thing for us. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little trite, maybe, but it's so genuine and so authentic and been done for so long. It's just part of that DNA, as I say. So there is this greenwashing piece, isn't it? And it annoys the hell out of me when I open a sandwich wrapper. Not that I shop at other retailers that often, but when I do, you know, and they're saying we use 60% less plastic. It's like, so what? You know, we haven't used plastic in our food or, you know, plastic bags. People can't even imagine when the last time they were used at Planet Organic. So it's just very real. We're really interested in how our food is grown. And when you're an organic supermarket and all your produce is organic, it's kind of just part of what we do. So the one thing I would say is planet has never been kind of shouty. I think there's a danger we can be we could be too preachy, but I don't think we have been. And maybe we should have a bigger voice in this sector. And I think there probably is a piece of activism, if you like, that maybe we should be pushing the boundaries on, because it isn't right. When I go into the larger supermarkets and you see just mass produced everything from produce through to meat through to ready meals through to even all this vegan stuff, and I should be careful because we sell some, I'd say, very high quality, but the amount of processed food that's going through the system, it just doesn't feel right.
It's a strange combination, isn't it? It's a strange paradox. Now, the food industry is changing a huge amount, and some sectors are growing rapidly, plant-based, as you said, fermented protein companies, ag tech businesses, low-alcohol brands. When you look at where food and drink is going, how does organic fit in? Although I hear what you say, that you're more planet than organic. If so, where's the big growth area for you? You talked a lot about beauty.
Health and beauty would be one where we see loads of opportunities, and the team have done a great job. We have a fantastic buyer, Aurelia, she's so passionate about that sector. And you've got amazing brands that want to launch with Planet. So actually we see ourselves a bit of a magnet, whether it's in the beauty, health and beauty or food sector. So yeah, we see that as a big growth opportunity. I'd love to take the Planet Organic brand in there, so the own brand piece where we don't sell anything under our own brand now. Because then we can really get involved in the manufacturing design of the product. So that supplement range I talked about, that's actually designed by team members from each and every one of our stores. They are closer to the customer. They're closer to the advice they give. So you can see there's a whole channel that goes there. And then we're really interested in trends all around the world. Some of the team went over to West Coast America earlier in the year, and they've come back full of ideas. And actually, we then found out that a lot of the retailers from over there come and have a look at what we're doing. So I think there's this wonderful piece around food innovation. We're passionate about supporting some of the smaller brands, and love launching brands and see them become successful in the wider market.
I guess also there's a twist to this, and that's that I speak to a lot of people who are launching products, and regularly you see on their business plan, we want to launch in small select stores. They're talking about bars that are impossible to get into, and Planet Organic crops up a lot. So we want to start off by, and that will give us the kudos to then spread out and then sell billions of them in down Sainsbury's instead. Now, but what you're saying is you're quite interested in doing a lot of stuff in-house. But so how do these sort of challenger brands fit into Planet Organic?
Well, firstly, I'd say they've got a very good plan if that's what they want to, how they want to launch their food brands into the market. Because we can do both. And when I talk about putting Planet Organic on the label, by the way, we're not doing that ourselves. That is in partnership. So, the supplement side would be an amazing company set up in Ely. The bone broth is a partner we've already got. So I think they can happily sit side by side. And, we don't have grand ambitions that says, right, half the store is going to be Planet Organic branded. That's just not how we work. So they sit alongside. I've spoken to a lot of the smaller suppliers, and I think it is a well-trodden path. I think it's one that you really have to get your proposition right and know who you're targeting, not just a Me Too, because there are a lot of Me Too brands out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last question then. You've spent a lot of your career, you've talked about going to Australia and the States. You're obviously aware of what's happening in markets around the world, and as you say, people are looking at you as well. But who's leading the way in food retail, and what lessons do we need to learn from elsewhere here in Britain?
I love looking at other retailers, and actually from Australia it's great, because we say we're from little old Australia, and retailers from all around the world will let you in. I've always been a big fan of some of the US food retailers and Canadian as well. I look at H-E Butt down in Texas.
For any particular reasons?
I think they really bring freshness to Lifeline. I've never seen anywhere else. So huge, abundant displays, everything from produce, chopped fruit in there, and making a real display of those. So I think they're really pretty impressive. Loblaw, I think, led the way in terms of that kind of fresh food market, and always been very impressed with them. I would say I think we did quite a good job down under at Coles, and again that was really focusing on consumer trends and really honing in on the fresh and the quality side of town. I think some of the European retailers are very impressive. I love Mercadona in Spain. I think they really have nailed what their proposition is. Again, a wonderful mix of fresh but very affordable grocery lines as well.
Fantastic. Okay, well, good luck with the expansion. I don't think you need it, but because I can see it working brilliantly. But I'm sure it's going to. I think you sound very calm. I think it's still going to be a bit of a rollercoaster ride. So all good luck to you, and it would be great to catch up with you again in a short while and find out how it's all unfolding.
Be delighted to, and I would say, you know, I'm able to stay as calm as I do because I'm surrounded by a great team who are all very involved in delivering the plan.
Fantastic. Well, George Diamond, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the Food Matters Live podcast on your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.